And welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of VAA, the podcast. I'm Big T Unit 1, your host. Also with me is going to be the first person in biblical proportions to actually have sex, Adam. And also with us on the fresh guest end is going to be Scarlett. Scarlett, thank you for being on the show. Hi, everybody. Anyway.
First person to have sex.
Well, he is.
I'm not denying it.
That point, basically, as the podcast standards go, we're going to be speaking about voice acting productions and voice acting in general, and we're going to, of course, talk to Scarlett to learn more about her. I figure we're going to start on that end, though. So, Scarlett, tell us a bit about yourself. How'd you get started in voice acting?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Big question.
When I was about, I know, right? I wasn't really expecting this. But when I was 13, I really wanted to do voiceover work because I started reading manga and I was all like, oh, this is so cool. I never really thought about like the voices that go behind it. And so, yeah, so I actually just started reading them out loud and practicing different voices and stuff like that. And then I found a project on Gaia Online that was voice acting work. And then she linked me to the VAA. And then I was like, oh, my God, this place is amazing. So I joined the VAA and I was extremely active for so many years. And recently went on a hiatus, and yeah.
I remember you from a production of an Animal Crossing fan dub as the main character. What other particular productions have you been involved in that you can tell us about?
There's been quite a few. Well, I know I've been in a couple of Telex things or Tilex. I mainly do fan dubs because, well, it's not like I mainly do fan dubs. I audition for a lot of radio plays, but mm-hmm. I find that the radio plays don't come out very often,
yeah,
which it's really sucky sometimes. But there has been a radio play, A Night Comes, and I'm in that one, and it's really, really good. I think it's still just like a fan radio play of a different story, but it's really, really good.
So it's based on a story that already exists? So
yeah, like it's based on a story that already exists. Except, like, the voice actors are all, like, you hear them gradually get better and more into the characters. And, like, the mixing, although at the beginning it's not that great, but it gets better as it goes on. And the story is very captivating.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's a lot of cliffhangers. So at the end of every episode, you're like, no! Where's the next one?
I can't stand those, but they're amazing at the same time when it's that little bit of twist that makes you go, oh, now I gotta watch the next one.
It's also really fun because, like, you get the script and you're like, oh my god! Like, you just get so excited to read it.
That's super cool. Yeah.
I mean, I definitely hear what you're saying with a lot of radio plays don't come out too often.
Yeah.
Especially sucks when one just falls off the face of the planet completely. Yeah. And then,
especially one like you're excited for.
Yeah, you know, and that sucks. I mean, because you're in mine. Wait, let me make that politically correct. You're in my collab one.
That was my ruin, right?
That was like on a year and a half hiatus. It just fell. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, where is that again?
It's on the VAA.
Is it still alive?
Yeah, I'm waiting on lines.
I can definitely relate. Single Field Not Haunted, still waiting on lines.
Remember when I had to get the second episode of Follow My Ruin out? And I was like, hey, finally, I got all the lines from my co-partner. And hey, guess whose lines I'm missing, Travis?
Let's change the subject. Anyway, it brings up a good subject that a lot of times these people who create episodic things, there is that difficulty. That's especially something I've noticed as a producer myself, is that when I try to do episodes one at a time, it becomes really, really hard to get the actors to continue along with it. And it takes forever to complete. I mean, the fact that it takes, you know, a year or so to get an episode done.
Well, that was just social and life getting in the way. That wasn't really actors holding it up. That was just us being stupid.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for example, there's some radio plays that have been out that managed to finish their episodes. I mean, as we brought up Dreamcatcher before, managed to get to episode 9. And being involved with that actually kind of pushed me onto a good idea. And it's something I'd definitely advise to anyone who wants to go with the episodic design. Write all the chapters before you do anything.
That's a big one.
So, I actually, you're right. You know, I took that from Dreamcatcher from when Merity was doing it. You know, I busted out, I finished writing all of Shatter Heaven script and I sent them out. I mean, you know, because you gave me all your lines for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Mipa gave me hers all for the rest of the season. So it's a brilliant thing to do. It may take a little longer, but it's worth it. So all the people who want to post something and rush to get it out, don't. If it's a project you're serious about doing, take the extra time and effort to at least outline the series. Because I can guarantee you, if you're going to try and do an audio drama or whatever and do it as right as you go, it's going to fail.
Plus, as you brought up, life does generally kind of get in the way. And in that sense, it's a lot easier to find one long period of time instead of a bunch of bits of individual time to record each episode. Because it might not fall into the fact to say, hey, this guy can now record for episode 7, because it might come into a situation where he won't be able to record for episode 8 because it's a different date. So might as well set it to where, hey, get all these lines done in one day and you're done. And then you get to hear it just build on from there as they produce them. And I really dig that kind of concept.
It's a great concept, and I think a lot more people should do it. I think it'll just benefit them so much more in the future. And like I said, Dreamcatcher got done. You know, that was putting out episodes every week. No other radio play did that or produced it. Like, hey, here's a new episode this week. You know, every now and then there was an episode that missed like a week, but it was out like the next one. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Travis, we all thought you died in like whatever episode it was.
I thought I died too.
He's like, I think I died. I'm like, didn't you record the lines for the next episode? It's like, but it's convincing.
It could have been the case. It just sounded like that. I mean, when an episode ends with me going, you know,
yeah, it was very convincing that I thought you died.
At least I didn't get killed with a rusty butter knife.
Oh God, that's just not cool. Oh, sorry, Quint.
Sorry.
Oh. He's going to be hurting from that one.
So anyway, before we start digging too much into the subject of that, we usually start this time with talking about productions, basically bringing up ones that are either finished or need to get the auditions to be finished, but definitely ones you need to pay attention to. We noticed one recently by a user named Wes Chandler. Now, we haven't done this yet, but we're actually going to promote Machinima. Usually, as you say, we are a fan of kind of the original production things, and generally speaking... not many of them are original, but the case of this one looks like a very original concept. It's called Down to the Sunless Sea. It's based, I can't even tell what kind of machinima it's based on, but it has a very realistic look to it.
It looks like it might be done in like Poser.
I mean, the big thing I noticed about this one compared to other ones, I mean, this is a big thing I noticed compared to any other audition I've ever seen, are that their audition lines are in different languages. So they're looking for specific either regions of speakers or people who can speak things like Russian or German or Spanish, which I thought, I mean,
that's challenging and very adventurous for them.
It's definitely a bold step. We could definitely see where it goes from that point, but I would say try out, because he has run through a cast period and cast some people, but there are quite a few people left, ranging from young to old, men, women, vampires, everything in between. So if you get a chance, definitely check it out.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going through it now. It looks like it's definitely done in Poser. I could be wrong, but it looks like it's a Poser type thing. And that's a lot of work to try. I have Poser. For the life of me, just wasn't going to happen. The deadline's April 2nd, so there's still time to do it.
Again, there's quite a few roles available. There's like 15 or 20 from I can see.
Yeah.
Still need to be filled. So yeah, if you get a shot to look into audition for something of an original caliber, especially if you want to do something visual, definitely check that guy out. Adam, have you noticed any particular productions that have tickled your fancy?
That tickled my fancy? We've met...
What?
Nothing. Okay, I'm going to go into the visual section.
The visual section? Boy!
The original... I know! What a concept! The original visual section, like we mentioned before, really needs a lot more views and a lot more play. There's a lot of upcoming original series. Okay, I want to point this a few out. This one, is an episode's not up yet, but I would definitely check him out and like follow him. The username is 1mfilms.com. But he's got a street racing original 3D animation being done. It's called Adrenaline. It's really good. It's just really good.
Does it make your adrenaline pump?
Yes, it does.
Right on.
Well, no, it's done with 3D cell shading. It looks amazing. And the amount of effort that's going into it is just fantastic. And I can only push this guy so much because of all the effort that's going into that project. And it definitely should get some reviews or at least some posts or whatever. Just check it out. I know that he's still working on the first episode, but he's got the opening and the ending out. Here's another one. Just one other I'll mention. There's actually another original animated series that was released, I think, a week or so ago, but he hasn't put it on the VAA yet. I messaged him on YouTube. I told him to put it on here.
Is he planning on putting it on?
He should be, because we've discussed this before. So I'm just waiting for him to get back to me. And when he does, and when he posts it on the VAA, I will direct people to go check that out. Although I'm surprised we haven't mentioned this. The Perjurer by Project Trinity. I'm surprised we haven't mentioned this yet. It's a pretty unique idea. It's done in like RPG Maker as the base for the animation. It's pretty interesting. So check it out. I think he's getting ready to work on the next. He's getting ready to release the next episode. But definitely go support him. It's really nice. It's coming out pretty good. So those are pretty much the only two original visuals I want to touch base on now, so I can save some for other.
Save it for some other people. Stop other hogging episodes. The stage.
Listen, I'm probably not going to talk in the other half of it, so.
Bullshit. You'll find something to talk about.
Shut the hell up.
Beep, bleep, 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 bleep. Anyway. Scarlett, I know that you said you're not as active as you used to be, but have you noticed any productions that you've listened to or seen that you went, ooh, this looks kind of cool, or that was really cool? That sounded incredibly intelligent of me, didn't it?
No, that's right. There's one that I'm in that isn't out yet, and I'm looking forward to when it does come out.
Uh-huh.
It's Nature of Jade, and it's based on a novel. I don't know when it's come out, but it's a very reliable producer, so hopefully sometime.
What's the name of the user?
I think Oh My God Turtle.
Oh My God Turtle.
Oh, okay.
I know Oh My God Turtle.
Oh My God Awkward Turtle?
Yeah, Awkward Turtle, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's an interesting name.
I know, right? I was like, I'm trying to remember it.
For some reason, I just imagine kind of awesome if you tried to add that kind of seriously in, where he's like, this production by Oh My God Awkward Turtle.
Oh, Travis.
Anyway, can you tell us, give us a hint what it's about at all?
It's about a teenage girl that has anxiety issues.
Oh, man.
And she ends up volunteering at a local zoo. And it's so far, it's leading into like a kind of romantic relationship. It's a teen novel.
Well, thank God it went kind of romantic, but for some reason I was just imagining, you know, anxiety person in a zoo, zaniness.
What?
No, there's like a really interesting character that comes in. He's a male with like a young boy, though, and you just realize that he's not married. She kind of likes him, you know, that type of romance thing. It's kind of awkward, but who knows? So, yeah, I know it's been really cute so far, I think. Yeah.
That sounds really cool.
It's definitely a nice, different take on a teenage-based audio drama.
And as long as it kind of stays away from Twilight-isms, I am a fan of it.
Yeah, I know. Twilight. Oh, my gosh. I was in something that was like that. I wanted to shoot myself. Luckily, my
You are my heroine.
You know what? I just need to say this, and I don't care how many people might hate me for it, but to you Twilight fans, the author is a f***ing idiot.
You know what? My friend had a really good debate about it, and she said, you know what? She's like, the editors were the authors. Like, she just kind of, like, sent something in, and the editors had to, like, fix it up so hard.
Yeah,
like,
I even read it, and it still sucks. But then
I didn't read it.
At least you have an educated opinion on it, because a lot of people will start hating, but, I mean, I was the same way. I was like, you know what? I'm going to at least read it so that I can hate on it with legitimate cause.
Well, I didn't, you know, but here's the thing, though. Yeah, I have to remember that it's a romance novel.
For 10-year-olds.
Well, it's a rom. No, well, look, there's so many girls like our age that love the hell out
of this
series.
There's like 30-year-olds.
Yeah, 30s and 40-year-old women.
It's because it's a fantasy romance novel. So, but still, I'm sorry. Vampires don't f***ing sparkle, okay?
Unless they use Mr. Sparkle.
Mr. Sparkle? Okay.
Yeah.
They don't. And that was. Oh, God. I'm sorry. It just. I've unfortunately seen all the movies so far, and not
what? Are you secretly a fan here?
No, I am. I was forced.
I read the book. It's so bad. Okay, but I've seen all the movies.
I did not
also
read.
Really
no.
Bad.
I kiss that guy, but I'm not gay.
Too far, Travis. Too far. No, I was in Borders, and I was waiting online, and I was like, all right, let me see what the hell this thing's about. So I read a random passage. I was just like, oh, my God, I got to put this down. No, I saw that. I was forced to see the movies.
People are forced to get shot.
Shut
People
up,
aren't
Travis.
Forced to go see Twilight.
You know what? At the time, I was. So be quiet, all right? There was nothing else out, and we wanted to see a movie. So we're like, let's go see Twilight. I'm like, oh,
I can just hear the shame.
You know what? Stop, okay? I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm going to spoil this. And I don't give a shit if anyone cares or whatnot. But in the last book, freaking... The wolf, whatever the hell his name is, imprints and falls in love with... He basically falls in love with her Baby.
We're going to get so many letters of people pissed off. You spoiled it.
Listen, that book's been out forever. If you don't know what the hell's going to happen, piss off.
For some reason, I want to voice act that scene. Kind of a condensed version of it. Just what being like, oh my God, you're having a baby. It's so hot.
Oh my God, we should do that. Oh, do you know how much, you know about how much hate mail we'd get?
I don't care.
I know, neither do I.
We also get a lot of love mail too. That's people true. Like, right on, they need to be That's said.
True. You know, we've kind of realized we haven't gone into any technical aspect.
Not so much.
In any of these podcasts yet. So I know Travis wanted to discuss some things. Mm-hmm.
There's a certain aspect I wanted to bring up, because before in the first episode, I brought up some technical advice and that kind of thing on podcasts. And while there were some technical touch-upons on that, it was mainly just by design. This case, I'm going to bring up something in a little more of the technical side, and I would definitely like to be able to hear both of you guys' input on this. Mainly the certain tips and tricks on the mixing of audio. This can go from the level of production. This could even go into the level of just recording lines for somebody and sending them in. One of the biggest things that people need to consider when mixing something like that, get a decent program for it. I know a lot of people use Audacity to record, and it's nice because it's free and you can open it really quickly and record. Yeah. But as default, for one, it's set to record in mono, which doesn't sound nearly as good than when recording in stereo. So if you had to get around to it, either just the settings or find a program that does record in stereo, like Adobe Audition, for example. It's a very common one a lot of people are picking up. On top of that...
Yeah, Adobe Audition is probably the standard.
On top of that, when people do generally do that recording, the first thing people think is, oh, in the case, let's say if you do an audition, I'm going to go send these lines in now. Before you do that, there is an option you can go through to actually make your overall sound quality sound even better. And this is a trick I actually learned from a little bit of online research. In the case of dealing with Adobe Audition, there's certain... multi-band compressors built into it. Basically, compressors, you know, adjust certain settings, basically get rid of certain things and enhance others. That's a very vague statement, a way of putting it. But in this case, it will improve your audio. It's pretty much almost like having your own built-in mixing board, but there's some ways you can have it adjusted there. You can do it manually. They'll give you a control a lot of times if you do multi-band compressing. But there's also a lot of auto functions you can find. Just start playing through them and previewing each sound and just hear which one will have the best quality overall. I generally do this with every recording I do now. And I've also noticed that my overall detail quality in my recordings has bumped up quite a bit. On top of that, there's a function called hard limiting, which is nice because basically that sets an even volume for every bit of recording across. Because one of the biggest things that keeps a normal microphone from sounding like a professional microphone more often than not, or a professional recording, is that each recording nuance is going to have different levels of volume and quality. So you'll hear a really high note, and then it'll end up getting a really low and very hard to hear note, and it makes it kind of a strange waveform. It's not very consistent. Sometimes it's either not easy enough to hear, or you just can't hear it at all. It may be just even too loud. You might have peaking. So what hard limiting can do, even to a kind of a softer extent, will make all the sounds sound very even. When I've done this in the past, it's made my waveforms very even and the quality overall sound a lot better. In fact, every time I've done a podcast as of late, I've put everyone's voices through that kind of process, including mine, and it does drastically improve the quality. And this is also nice if you plan on sending these things in for paying jobs, just making money off of these things. Because, I mean, if you can get any bump ups on quality on an audition, you're more likely to get the part than anybody else. So if you're looking into that, I highly recommend just going through a few simple steps to make your overall quality sound better. On that note, did you have anything to add to that, Adam?
Wow. In comparison, nothing I can really say, because I'm still kind of new at audio mixing, mixing only. And I've gotten pretty decent at it, don't get me wrong, but I don't know how much I can really add to that. I think what you said is a lot better. The most I could say, which a lot of people I don't think notice or know how to do, is adjusting the levels of your microphone.
Yes, that is important.
A lot of times people record something, and by default, they're getting very high, like large waveforms, and they're like peaking very easily. I just got a new microphone on December, and great microphone, but I just was peaking way too much. Now, for Windows 7... You want, I know everyone has different, you know, setups and whatnot, but you want to go to control panel or if you have a Mac or wherever.
If you have Windows 98, get the f*** out. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, we don't give a shit about you. You probably suck anyway.
You're probably using a headset by Jesus. We're such assholes.
Yeah, we are assholes. You want to go to your hardware and sound settings. And in sound, you want to, once you're in the sound, you want to go to manage audio devices. I'm saying this as I'm actually doing it right now. And when you'll get another window, and this is, keep in mind, I'm on Windows 7, so right now. So you'll get four tabs. It'll be playback, recording, sounds, communication. Go to recording, because that'll have your mic set up there. And click your mic, go to properties, and when you go to properties, it'll say, like, microphone properties. You'll have general, listen, levels, advanced. Go to levels, and wow, my levels are pretty high there.
One of the big things you also need to keep in mind is that each person's voice is going to have different level qualities. For example, if you're a quieter speaker, you might have a higher level to make up for that fact. In my case, my voice projects and is pretty loud, so in my adjusted settings, because I also have Windows 7, my overall levels is at a 20%, which is very low. Usually it's set automatically at 100, so you're peaking even if you're speaking quietly. But if you give enough room to where you can talk normally and there's no peaking, but you can also raise your voice and there won't be peaking, then you probably hit that nice little sweet spot for your levels.
Yeah.
It's a good one, because I find that when you're when you have to yell or whatever, then you don't peak. And then the thing is, if you have to like speak really quietly though, you kind of want to bump it up.
One other thing, noise reduction people, about noise reduction, be careful with that.
Oh yes.
That's true.
I suggest if you have noise and background noise and you have lines to send to someone, don't do noise reduction before you send it to someone.
Because more often than not, if you do it over the entire thing really quickly, it sounds like adults and Charlie Brown.
You get
it
back and just have a metallic sound.
For all the lines. And
you have to find a suite. You have to mess around with it.
There's actually some programs, I know in the case of Adobe Audition, has one that is adaptable. It does adaptable noise reduction. It takes forever. Like when I did the last podcast, it took about an hour to do, but it made it a lot clearer. It didn't have that tinniness or echo added to it.
I haven't even done adaptable. I've messed around. Like I've adjusted the settings in noise reduction. Another thing, if you're going to do it, make sure what I do is I'll usually let my microphone record at least 30 to 45 seconds of background noise, and then I'll copy that entire time limit of background noise and use that as the sample.
One nice thing to also look out for is, because we also know a lot of people use USB condenser mics as opposed to XLR built, one of the most common things and pretty much is found in every USB is going to be a humming sound. That's mainly because of the electricity running through the phantom power of the microphone. It causes a humming sound, even if you have a microphone that tends to cut it off. In that case, if you're going to be shopping for a new microphone or looking for, or you possibly even have this on your own microphone or in a setting, look into something called a low frequency cutoff. It's basically either a piece of hardware or a software that cuts off the low frequency sounds you hear in an overall recording. Now, what counts as a low frequency sound more often than not are things like air conditioners, fans, any kind of humming electronics, that really low reverberating sound, which can usually record, you know, on a recorded sound, kind of ruin the quality. As long as you have something like that, it sounds like you're recording in a studio. It definitely adds more of that professional quality to it.
That's software?
There are some softwares that actually allow you to do it. You can download a lot of different kinds of patches and filters that can actually kind of do some low-frequency cutoffs. I've noticed the hardware works a lot better. For example, I have a USB version of a condenser mic called the Shure PG42. Built into the side of it is actually a switch that can either turn on the low-frequency filter or turn it off. More often than not, I leave it on. Just because I'm clearly not going to be in a recording studio most of the time recording this. But on the end of that, I've noticed that it's not only removed all those little humming sounds, but it sometimes even cuts off some of the echo. So it makes a little better quality and natural sound. So I'd highly recommend look for something like that.
I agree with Travis and what he's saying with the clear up your overall voice. But if you're not familiar with it, I suggest you don't do it. And let whoever's mixing deal with it.
You might want to mention when you send it to them, though, going like, hey, if you need to adjust it, let them. Because sometimes people get kind of persnickety about that. Or they'll go, hey, wait a minute, this thing's like just raw audio. It sucks. But a lot of times those little touch-ups can really make a huge difference. Scarlett, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Not really. You two have just been handling it very well. So I'll just let you keep going.
What's the current microphone that you're using?
I'm using a default lav microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
I would have never have guessed.
Seriously.
I know, right? No, because I used to use like just a Logitech one, because I just don't buy expensive microphones. Mm-hmm. And I just tested out, I use the MacBook Pro and I tested it out and I was like, whoa, this is relatively good quality. What is this?
That's what actually I've heard, that the MacBook microphones are actually really decent.
Yeah, so I've just been using it and it's been like better than my other one. And I was like, well then, I'll just continue using this.
Holy crap. I never would have guessed that.
Neither would have.
I know, right?
See, now that's like a slap in the face. Everyone's like, you got to go buy an expensive microphone. Well, I use
that's a slap in the face
one.
To us having a discussion about all these expensive microphones, and then Scarlett comes in and is like, bitch, I use my laptop mic.
But it's a MacBook, so it costs like $3,000
yeah,
to do.
It's an expensive laptop. That's yeah. the thing.
So, I mean, even discussing to people that are on a budget, there are microphones out there that do have decent quality and do have those low frequency cutoffs built in. One I definitely know is the Samson CO3U, I think it's like $150. And has that. If you're looking any cheaper than that, I guess if you were looking to like cheaper condensers, I would suggest the CO1U. I wouldn't look into the Snowball. Oh, and the Yeti. The Yeti also has that as well. I don't know the cost of the Yeti right now, though, but I hear it's pretty cheap. If it's still a little too expensive, get a MacBook Pro.
Oh, yeah, because that makes much more sense.
Right. One of the biggest things to definitely learn, like especially since I have been discussing a lot very technical functions of a program, and I'm sure there's plenty of people who don't even know where to begin with that. They're probably like, what the hell is this white boy talking about? They're the best way I found out about these things, I mean, beyond having, you know, doing a little research on it, is I recorded, you know, one line that's, you know, just says something like, I like tacos. And then I'll bring that one line in to the program and just start fiddling around with the special effects. And the more you do that, the more you start learning about it, the more you figure out, hey, this thing right here just makes it sound awesome. I should go with this. So,
that's a great idea.
So just an easy suggestion on that is just play. Just go in there and play with the program and you'll figure out a lot of this stuff out.
What else did you want to touch upon? I think we had a question or a desire to have a question.
Right. So, yeah, we could ask some questions on the four spring, but I don't know if any of them apply.
In your opinion, why is it that the VAA has such firm divides and cliques? There are so many new talented members who have such a passion for this, but they don't seem to be getting as much notice as they deserve and just can't seem to, quote unquote, get in.
Yeah, so in my personal opinion, what you got to do is you definitely have to post in the forums and try to, like, break into them. Have Skype is, like, a big deal, and add people and talk to them, but don't bother them. Like, say hi, but if they don't say hi back, don't be like, oh, you're such a or a dick, and then you know, generally be nice, I guess.
Nice people do get noticed.
You know, if you're beginning, try to just audition for as much as you can. Like, don't have really high standards for yourself. I don't know, like, I used to whore my voice out for sure, but like gradually, because even if you don't get in on like the projects that a lot of, you know, well-known people are in, if you're in the little ones, then that's where you can really develop your voice and get better at it. And then from that point, you can get into the other productions that have probably more well-known people working on it.
Plus, it tends to work as a networking tool too, because you'll start getting to the point where people start listening to it and go, oh, there's that person again. Oh,
take
they're
extras.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
And like,
extra.
Definitely have a demo reel and put that in your resume. And you know, even if you send off an email or whatever to them, just be like, here's my demo if you want to listen to it. Listen to people's critiques, for sure. And if you apply it to your audition, oh my gosh, they love it. Do they ever love it? You know, because there's nothing better than giving direction to someone and then having them actually, like, follow through with that. And even if they aren't the, like, most amazing actor to come in, knowing that they can listen to direction really well and, like, apply it to their voice is always a big thing. And I've found that producers are willing to keep you in mind for future projects, for sure.
I think passion speaks a lot to people who are on that kind of field, because a lot of times, even if you're not necessarily involved with the biggest productions, or if, honestly, if you're just not that good of a voice actor, sometimes just being involved, it makes the biggest effect in the world, because you're able to, we have a lot of people that are, you can sit up there and go, hey, you know, I'm making this production, or hey, I'm going to get involved. But it's simply, once again, as we said in the last one, getting involved is very significant in getting it actually involved outside of it. You just kind of have to make openings for yourself, I guess. Don't wait for things. Just work for them, really. As long as you keep working for them, they'll happen.
Don't get discouraged if you're not seeing, or if you're seeing clicks and whatnot. What you're going to learn is a lot of people, especially the well-known ones, are going to scout projects. So if you see projects coming out, they're like, oh, this is awesome. I totally wish I could have auditioned for it, but you can't find an audition thread. It's not because they're being a clique and they don't want to get other people involved. It's because, you know what? Through every producer's experience, they've definitely come across a situation where they've had auditions and flaky VAs auditioned and got a part. It's a learning experience. You find who are the reliable voice actors. You become friends with them. And it's a question. Would you prefer to take a risk where you're going to come across a voice actor who's good but might just flake out on you and just become unresponsive and waste your time? Or are you going to want to work with the people that you know that are reliable and you're going to be able to get a production out? So that's why a lot of people scout.
And especially now, because I find that auditions are very, very low every project. It's incredible, because I remember back in the day there would be like 30 to 40 for like 5 character things.
And that'd be pretty average. I mean, you'd...
That was average. And now it's like 15 if you're lucky.
Even when I was casting for a single female in Haunted again, when I was casting for the main character, I was like, hey, the main character's open. As you can see, I'm doing it because there are two episodes already. That seems like the natural inclination to go, hey, this thing's actually going to get made for one, which is a positive, and it's decent. At least I thought it was pretty well made. And I was, you know, it's something that's going to continue, that more people jump on it. Even then, I only got 5 auditions. And I left the thing open for a month.
Mm-hmm. It's just because, you know, I think a lot of people just, I don't know what it is, but there's a stigma on audition sections right now that people, I don't know why, but they think there's nothing good. They're not taking the time to find anything interesting, or maybe what interests them are just fan dubs and don't really give a crap about anything original. So it just doesn't appeal to them.
I don't know. It's not, I'm going to kind of argue with you.
Go ahead.
On that one, because like just in general, even like the fan dubs, I find very low in auditions as well compared to normal.
I mean, yeah, how it used to be for fan dubs, it used to be ridiculous numbers. I mean, I do understand that
originals do normally have less auditions, but just in a huge general, there are a lot less auditions, which is very odd considering the VAA has a lot more members than it used to.
You can also pay attention a lot of times to the threads, because I mean, if you look at the newer threads that are popping up or the ones that are getting the attention, it's not the audition threads, it's not the productions, it's the what is your VA pet peeve, which is another thing that doesn't make sense to me.
Like, insane.
It's huge.
Well, one thing that doesn't make sense to me on that end is that there's not enough voice acting on the site to indicate anyone having a pet peeve about voice acting. How do you have a pet peeve about voice acting when you're not voice acting?
Here's a question. Getting critiqued, you know, I think I just want to touch on it, like, not a lot, because I think this is a good thing that could run for an entire podcast, and maybe it's something we could touch on with the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you prefer long critiques that go in depth and literally pick and point out things that are wrong and try and correct you, or do you want to just see, hey, you want to get a pat on the back? Like, I know some people take long drawn out critiques and they think it's being trolled, or this person's being a dick, or they're being elitist when they're just giving advice.
Well, I think it's situations like that. It doesn't necessarily indicate, as you said, it's not necessarily indicating that someone's a dick. At the same time, I mean, we all make mistakes in our whatever we intend to make. It's nothing's ever going to be perfect. And also in the situation that someone listening to the outside might not completely understand why you did something in the production. It might be intentional, something they pointed out. Then, like, oh, it's too quiet here. Well, maybe you did that on purpose. Just from the situation of not being able to understand it 100% completely, I say analyzing it to that extent might be a bit overboard. Now, giving your basic critiques and something brief while still, you know, giving compliments where it deserved and plus and minuses is fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think there just needs to be a good mid ground. Avoiding the black and white side of that is honestly the best rule of thumb. In the case of, you know, we were talking about how voice actors can get more attention. In the case of producers, just start releasing whatever project you want to release and just continue. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have it within high quality and you just continue to release it with gusto passion.
Even if the quality isn't high, if the story's interesting.
You know what's good too, I find, is if you're starting a new project and if you make a trailer for it. Don't make a crappy trailer, but just if you have a trailer, period, that shows that you're... that you are already working on it and you will work on it, and it's a really positive thing to do, and it'll probably get more attention from actors and people who want to just work with it, because it shows that you're more reliable and that you're more passionate about the project than just being like, here, audition for this.
Yeah, and can we stop with the whole, hey, PM me for like questions on the series and I'll give you lines? Can we stop that, please? I know not everyone's listening to this podcast, but for those of you that are listening that are guilty of this, stop it, because you're hurting yourself.
Well, that whole comes from the whole thing where it's like all the details are on this YouTube video. Again, it's like, yeah, there are structures on this site for a reason, and they've been established for years and they work. So just stick with that and you'll be okay.
Yeah, and the VA is an online community, and the thing is, like, we just kind of have our rules as a community in a forum. Like, every other forum would have their rules, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to get banned, or your project's not going to get closed if you don't do it. Just no one's going to respond to you.
Yeah.
First off, I just wanted to say thank you, Scarlett, for being on our show today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having me. I was really excited about it.
Was it worth it, Scarlett? We didn't scar you too much?
No, absolutely not.
All right, on. So once again, out to everybody. Well, we thank you for listening to this one. I hope you guys learned a lot, because we talked a lot.
We did.
Again, if you have any questions for us, if you want to have any other questions answered on the show, send it to our FormSpring. You can also send us PMs online, or heck, we have Skype still, so you can talk to any of us and we'll do our best to answer it on the show. And once again, we'll have a new guest on the next show and things will be hunky-dory. With that, is there any final statements you wanted to say, Scarlett?
Am I supposed to have one?
Aw. Anything you wanted to say to the people of the Voice Acting Alliance?
Definitely keep at it, for sure.
Keep on keeping on. Life's a garden, dig it.
You know, like, I'd say that the most important thing to voice acting and, like, pretty much anything in the world is perseverance, you know? So if someone's just like, you're shit, then maybe message them back asking them why.
Today's word for the podcast is perseverance.
Brought to you by the letter P.
With that, we'll leave with the usual corny ass intro or outro I tend to use every single time. From all of us at the Voice Acting Alliance podcast, I'm Big T Unit 1.
Madam.
Scarlett.
Signing off. Stay classy, VAA.
That's so cheesy.